Greetings in the name of our Lord and His dear Son, Jesus. A Psalm of David. The Lord tends to me as a shepherd, and I shall not want, and I shall want nothing. This is the Brenton translation. In place of green grass, there He has made me dwell. He has nourished me by the water of rest. He has restored my soul. He has guided me into the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, even if I should walk in the midst of the shadow of death, I will not be afraid of evils, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, these have comforted me. Thou hast prepared a table before me in the presence of them that afflict me. Thou hast thoroughly anointed my head with oil, and Thy cup cheers me like the best wine. Thy mercy also shall follow me all the days of my life, and my dwelling shall be in the house of the Lord for a very long time. 1 Thessalonians, this is going to be redundant for some because we've gone over 1 Thessalonians recently in the Bible study, and I was impressed that at the end of the letter, as we'll read, then the leather he commands this letter to be read before the brothers, so that was an encouragement, and I took that as a good sign to just read that for the morning. 1 Thessalonians, ESV, although I'll stray from the ESV at the end, because I don't think Paul put them under an oath. He commanded the letter to be read, but I do confess I have an issue with the ESV when it comes to chapter 5, verse 27. But otherwise, I'll just read ESV. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy to the Church of the Thessalonians in God, the Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace. We give thanks to God always for all of you, constantly mentioning you in our prayers, remembering before our God and Father your work of faith and labor of love, and steadfastness of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. For we know, brothers loved by God, that He has chosen you, because our gospel came to you not only in word, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, and with full conviction. You know what kind of men we proved to be among you for your sake, and you became imitators of us, of the Lord, and of the Lord. Read that again. And you became imitators of us and of the Lord. For you received the word in much affliction with the joy of the Holy Spirit, so that you became an example to all the believers in Macedonia and in Achaia. For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in For not only has the word of the Lord sounded forth from you in Macedonia and Achaia, but your faith in God has gone forth everywhere, so that we need not say anything. For they themselves report concerning us the kind of reception we had among you, how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God, and to wait for his Son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who delivers us from the wrath to come. For you yourselves know, brothers, that our coming to you was not in vain. But though we had already suffered and been shamefully treated at Philippi, as you know, we had boldness in our God to declare to you the gospel of God in the midst of much conflict. For our appeal does not spring from error or impurity or any attempt to deceive, but just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please man, but to please God, who tests our hearts. For we never came with words of flattery, as you know, nor with a pretext for greed. God is witness. Nor did we seek glory from people, whether from you or from others, though we could have made demands as apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, like a nursing mother taking care of her own children. So, being affectionately desirous of you, we were ready to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own selves, because you had become very dear to us. For you remember, brothers, our labor and toil. We worked night and day, that we might not be a burden to any of you, while we proclaimed to you the gospel of God. You are witnesses, and God also, how holy and righteous and blameless was our conduct towards you, believers. For you know how, like a father with his children, we exhorted each one of you and encouraged you and charged you to walk in a manner worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. And we also thank God constantly for this, that when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but as what it really is, the word of God, which is at work in you, believers. For you brothers became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. Brother, can I get the tea? I'm grateful for the microphone this morning. I guess I've heard Sila means pause. For you, brothers, became imitators of the churches of God in Christ Jesus that are in Judea. For you suffered the same things from your own countrymen as they did from the Jews, who killed both the Lord Jesus and the prophets, and drove us out, and displeased God and oppose all mankind by hindering us from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved. So as always to fill up the measure of their sins. But wrath has come upon them at last. There's an exclamation point. But wrath has come upon them at last. Verse 17. But since we were torn away from you, brothers, for a short time, in person, not in heart, we endeavored the more eagerly and with great desire to see you face to face. Because we wanted to come to you, I, Paul, again and again. but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope or joy or crown of boasting before our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? Is it not you? For you are our glory and joy. Therefore, when we could bear it no longer, we were willing to be left behind at Athens alone. And we sent Timothy, our brother and God's co-worker in the gospel of Christ, to establish and exhort you in your faith, that no one be moved by these afflictions. For you yourselves know that we are destined for this. For when we were with you, we kept telling you beforehand that we were to suffer affliction, just as it has come to pass and just as you know. For this reason, when I could bear it no longer, I sent to learn about your faith, for fear that somehow the tempter had tempted you and our labor would be in vain. But now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us the good news of your faith and love and reported that you always remember us kindly and long to see us as we long to see you. For this reason, brothers, in all our distress and affliction, we have been comforted about you through your faith. For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord. I'll just repeat that. For now we live if you are standing fast in the Lord. For what thanksgiving can we return to God for you, for all the joy that we feel for your sake before our God, as we pray most earnestly night and day, that we may see you face to face, and supply what is lacking in your faith. Now may our God and Father himself and our Lord Jesus direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all, as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints. Finally, then, brothers, we ask and urge you in the Lord Jesus that as you receive from us how you ought to walk and to please God, just as you are doing, that you do so more and more, for you know what instructions we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality, that each one of you know how to control his own body in holiness and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God. That no one transgress and wrong his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger in all these things, as we told you beforehand and solemnly warned you. For God has not called us for impurity, but in holiness. Therefore, whoever disregards this disregards not man, but God, who gives his Holy Spirit to you. Now concerning brotherly love, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. For that indeed is what you are doing to all the brothers throughout Macedonia. But we urge you, brothers, to do this more and more, and to aspire to live quietly, and to mind your own affairs, and to work with your hands as we instructed you, so that you may walk properly before outsiders and be dependent on no one. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. For this we declare to you by a word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. Now concerning the times and the seasons, brothers, you have no need to have anything written to you. For you yourselves are fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. When people are saying, there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them, as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you are not in darkness, brothers. For you are not in darkness, brothers, for that day to surprise you like a thief. For you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us keep awake and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be sober. Having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves, and we urge you, brothers, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, help the weak, be patient with them all. See that no one repays anyone evil for evil, but always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now, may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit and soul and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who calls you excuse me, he said, he who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Brothers, pray for us. Greet all the brothers with a holy kiss. I command you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. I have a lot. I have a lot of work to do. I have a lot of refining. I just wanted to say that, like, I needed to hear that letter. And thank you for listening, and I'm looking forward to hearing how this challenged you, or how we can be admonished by this letter, or whatever you'd like to share regarding this letter.
Thank you, Brother Micah. I appreciated what you shared at the very end. I feel like I have plenty of refining to do. It seems like one thing to guard against, but it's one of the hard things to guard against is some kind of an attitude that leads to pride and arrogance, thinking we have obtained. It seems like in my own life, anytime I've thought I pretty well have something under control, some kind of circumstance reveals that I actually still have quite a bit of work to do, which is good. I think it's really good for all of us to stay humble and continue trying to grow in all the things that the Scripture instructs. While you were reading that, I was thinking about sleeping, and just my mind kind of went to comparing the different types of sleep that the Scriptures talk about. There's good sleep, which is just a natural consequence of the cycle of life, which is where we have one life to live, and then our physical bodies die, and then we're in sleep. And that there are faithful who are in sleep, waiting for the second coming of the Lord. And then there's a spiritual sleep, which is not good, which may even... I guess Paul doesn't... I was trying to think in the instances when Paul talks about people falling asleep, if he's questioning their salvation, or if he's saying that they're not in a healthy place spiritually, perhaps both, I don't know. But just interesting to think about that there are two different ways we can think of sleep. One being fine, it's just the way things will be till Jesus returns. And the other not being okay, being dull to the things that we ought to be taking seriously. Thank you for reading that letter, Micah.
Again, thank you, Brother Micah, and appreciate your comments too, Brother Max. It's in chapter 2, it says in verse 5, "For our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power, and in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance, as you all know what manner of love." So they received, if you read in Book of Acts, there was power or miracles. And we don't have that, at least I don't see it happening in our life today, you know, for the way it happened when Paul was preaching in Silas and Timothy at Thessalonica. You know, maybe an advantage they had although we do have the scriptures as a comfort. I would not say a consolation. I would say it's the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword. And so when you read this, Brother Micah, it will touch the hearts. And as verse 13 said, how did it say? It's not the work of men, but is in truth the Word of God, which effectually works in you. And then one other comment would be that the what Brother Duane said last week, I think it was last week, on the Beatitudes, and he quoted, well, he got an important spirit to me. He also quoted various verses from Old and New Testament, or especially from the Old, about Isaiah 66. To this man I will look, thus saith the Lord, who is humble and contrite of heart, and does what? And trembles at my word. So we have to tremble. You know, the Quakers got their nickname, or their name, with George Fox, when he went before Cromwell, when he went before the kings and magistrates, he said, tremble at the word of the Lord. So we have to be humble, and more humble. And when we read this first epistle, or anything in the scriptures, the Psalms, we have to tremble at that and put it in practice in our life. And I need that perhaps more than anybody. And the Lord be magnified.
Come bless the Lord.
I trust in thee.
sins of my youth. Happy.